You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
What happened to the men? It's only the ladies. So can I invite Emily up? To give a Bible reading, a scripture reading for today.
Good morning, Sun Life. I'll be reading from the Word of the Lord, Luke chapter 1, 67 to 79. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Emily. Thank you so much for reading the Word of God. Thank you so much. Thank you. What a joy to be with you. For those who have never met me yet, and I've met you, my name is Bin, and I'm one of the leaders and pastors at Sun Life Church. If this is your first time worshiping the Lord with us, welcome. And I really hope that you're encouraged with what God is doing here. And if, you know, myself or any of the leaders can be of any assistance, please, please let us know. You know, before I just unpack the Word of God that was beautifully read by Emily, we are a growing church. We are a growing church. We have two services. We have one in the morning, and we have one at 4:30 p.m. This means that there's lots that's happening in our church. You know, I was told during the week we had two births. In fact, we've got a picture of one of the newest addition to the Sun Life family. This is Yvonne. Yeah, a round of applause, Yvonne Piper. I think born early in the week, and there was a wedding yesterday. There's so much happening in our church, right? And because it's a growing church. And so what I need you to really help me is that if you are a part of a community, a part of a connect group, and there are all these wonderful milestones, please let the staff know so that we can actually celebrate. If someone's graduating or someone's leaving us, heading overseas and won't be returning for a few years, or there is a wedding, please let us know so that we as a church can celebrate, and it also builds our faith as well. And on the topic of community, I just want to say this. My heart desires this, is that every one of us here in this church here, we are known that we belong to a community. And that's because as the church gets larger, what will happen is that we will fall into the trap of just coming and going. Christianity becomes very transactional. Come on Sunday, sing a few songs, meet a few people, and then go home. But let's be honest, we are created to be in community. Like, following Jesus is not easy. Following Jesus needs people around us to help us follow the ways of Jesus. And that's why I say this, is that if you are not in community, if you're not in a connect group, can I highly encourage you to consider that, especially as we enter into 2025. If you would like to help me create more communities, I'm needing more communities. Honestly, I need more connect groups in this church here. Next Saturday, right here at 9 o'clock, I've got a connect group training / envisioning session. It's only a couple of hours. I want to share my heart in discipleship. If that is you, if God is prompting your heart to consider even helping me lead communities, please, can I encourage you to come along this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock in the church foyer. Maybe just come along and hear what I have to say, and then let God just do what he needs to do. Just pray about that. I'm really needing more communities in this church here. I don't want us to fall into the trap of just being a church where we grow in numbers, but we don't grow in intimacy. We don't grow in fellowship and having people praying with us, because as a pastor, there's a lot that happens during the week, a lot that comes to my table, a lot of emails that I receive. There are lots of ups and downs. There are milestones where things are going great, but there's also those valley moments where it's important to have people journey with us. You know, I had someone who said to me this morning before the service saying, I was in a really tough, tough season, but I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen again. And I said to that person, come on, we can do this. We can do this because we need each other. So if that is you, if God is prompting something in your heart right now, pray about it. And hopefully I might see you next Saturday at 9 o'clock here as I share discipleship and how creating community is important for us as we grow forward. Is that okay? Okay. Why don't you look at the person next to you, right, and ask them, what are your plans after the service? Oh, and those singles and ready to mingles, you can thank me afterwards. What are your plans afterwards? Okay. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Hands up if the person next to you, is very new to you and you've never met them before. Oh, look at that. See, hands down. Case proven. You see? You see, we've got to be intentional in wanting to know each other, take care of each other. Friends, have you ever been in a situation or a season where you've lost hope? You've lost hope and it seems like there is no light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe that is you this morning. You feel like the ability to move forward is just too much. There's no longer confidence or courage or passion or energy for a brighter future. Maybe you are waiting for God to do something. You're waiting for that breakthrough and it's just been so long, and the longer you wait, that light of hope is slowly flickering away. Is that you this morning? You know, back in October 2021, if you remember, young Chloe Smith, 4-year-old Chloe Smith, was abducted whilst camping with her family in outback Western Australia. You remember back then the entire country, us as a country, we were holding our breath, you know, eyes glued to the TV, just watching the news with the whereabouts of little Chloe. And I'm sure, like her parents, the longer we waited to find out about her, hope was slowly being sucked away. You know, when this happened, I was thinking of Madeleine McCain back in Spain, 2007 or so. The longer you wait for something, it seems like if God is not answering, that light of hope is slowly diminishing. Maybe that is you this morning. Maybe you are waiting for God. Maybe you are longing for God to do something and it hasn't happened yet, and you feel defeated. You feel there's no hope. You feel that your soul is crushed and hope is no longer there. You know, I agree with the writer William Styron. He writes this: it is hopelessness even more than pain that crushes the soul. Your soul will be crushed if there is no hope. And if that is you today, friends, I've got some good news for you. Because I want you to know there is a God who loves you and there is a God of hope. And for those who need hope, you're here to listen to this message because God is ready to offer hope to you. In today's reading, we find it is Zechariah's song of hope. Zechariah is now singing. It's because the context is that his wife Elizabeth has just given birth. Elizabeth is barren. She's old. They're longing to start a family. And at last she falls pregnant. She gives birth. The son is John the Baptist. And right here in Luke chapter 1, we get a song. It's like a Billboard chart-topping number one hit written by Zechariah. It is a song. The next time you read this, you should be singing it, because it's actually a song of hope. And here's the context. Open your Bible, go with me to Luke chapter 1. Just go a few verses up to verse 13. the angel said to him, and this is the angel speaking to Zechariah, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." Now, several months later, the same angel would now appear to Mary. Now, Mary, she's a relative to Elizabeth, and this is what the angel said to Mary in Luke 1, 36, 37. "And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." You see, what God is saying through the angel is that with him, nothing is impossible. In the case of Zechariah, the wait is over. Your wife, who is old, she's barren, it's impossible for her to fall pregnant. She has given birth. And he begins to sing this song, and it's 13 verses of a song of hope. And did you know, out of the 13 verses, only 2 verses dedicated to John the Baptist, and the rest towards who? God. A God of hope. And what I want to do is I want to draw out just 2 points for you this morning for those who need hope, because that might be you this morning from Zechariah's song. So let me pray and we'll work the text together. God, I pray now that as I teach and preach, that you would just help me, God, and just give me your strength to teach your word well. And I pray, Holy Spirit, be our great teacher as we learn together, as we leave knowing that you're a God of hope. And for those who need hope, you offer hope today. Not tomorrow, today. And I pray we leave with a hope that's not from us, not from this world, but from you alone. So would you help us all? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Here's the very first point here. If you're writing notes, if you're taking notes from the app, number one is God remembers us. God cannot forget you. God remembers us. So on Friday, just 2 days ago, on Friday at the playgroup, Tiny Treasures playgroup, one of the mums came to me and she asked me, she said, "Hey, did you by any chance taught at Methodist Ladies College some, 18 years ago back in 2006? And I'm like, "Wow, she's probably got the gift of prophecy. How does she know?" And I said, "Yeah, I was a teacher there some 18 years ago." And that mother said to me, "By the way, you were one of my teachers and I remembered you." And I asked that mother, "So how long have you been coming to this playgroup? Because I remember speaking to her." She goes, "We've been coming here since the start of term." And I felt so embarrassed because I've had conversation with her throughout the whole term and I didn't realize who she was, and she remembered me. When I realized that she remembered me, I kind of felt that, wow, I must have done something right, that she would remember me. I felt good. I felt like, wow, I'm appreciated. I felt kind of worthy. We live in a culture today, right? We live in a culture today where we are apparently so connected. We're so connected with the introduction of social media. But the reality is that in the Western world, we are at the highest when it comes to loneliness. We are so lonely. In the Western world, we find ourselves always kind of fixated on the smartphone, looking at those YouTubes or TikTok or social media news feed. And this now becomes our community, but yet in reality, we're so lonely. We pretend to be connected. We pretend to have, good people around us, but really, we're so lonely. But when a human being, not AI or some bot, but a proper human being says, "I remember you. I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you." How does that make us feel? Oh, we feel love, yeah? We feel known. We feel appreciated. We feel cared for. Now imagine the creator of the universe, the God of all gods, a God who says, "I haven't forgotten you. In fact, I can't forget you. I remember you. I know you. I'm thinking about you. I rejoice over you." And that's what we see right here. Because as we look at the song of Zechariah, he begins to say, God, you remember us. Not only Israel, but you remember me, my wife and I. So go with the text with me. Go back to Luke 1 from verse 68 onwards. He says, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestor and to remember his holy covenant or his holy promise. Did you notice those phrases? He has come. God has come. Or the phrase, as he said through his prophet. Or the phrase, to remember his holy covenant. You see, if you understand Israel history, is that up to this point here, God hasn't spoken to his people. Because the last time God showed up and the last time God spoke to his people was through the prophet Malachi in the Old Testament. So from Malachi to the beginning of the gospel, there would have been 400 years of silence, nothing. All right, there was no prophets of God, no presence of God, no provision of God, nothing but silence. And God's people were thinking, did we really mess up? Were we really that wicked that God has forgotten us? That's why it's been 400 years where we haven't heard from God. And maybe that is you this morning. Maybe you've realized that, or maybe I've lived a lifestyle that it's so sinful that I've really messed up, and that's the reason why God is not near me, because God has forgotten me. That God has, he can't remember me. He's no longer there. But let me say this, that's not the God of the Bible. That's not the God that I see in Scripture, because the God I see in Scripture is a God who cannot forget us. He cannot. He refused to forget us. He always remembers us. No matter how sinful we are, no matter how far we may be, God will always remember us. And I'll prove it to you. Isaiah 49, 15, the prophet says this, can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. The prophet says, even a mom may forget to look after her child, feed her child, have compassion for her child, but I, God, I will never forget you. I will never forget you. I will always remember you. In fact, Zechariah in Hebrew means God remembers. Hallelujah. God remembers. God is the same yesterday and is the same today. Because in the past, as we read through Scripture, he is the same God who remembered Noah and his family. He is the same God who remembered Abraham and Sarah when they wanted a child. The God who remembered Joseph when he was sold into slavery. The God who remembered Moses when he was tending the sheep out in the middle of nowhere. The God who remembered Zechariah and Elizabeth. And you know what? As you study the Bible, every time God remembers, he does something about it. You see, God saved his people out of Egypt because he remembered his people. God would bless Abraham and Sarah with a son, Isaac, because he remembers this beautiful couple, how they left Haran into the promised land. God remembered Joseph when he was sold into slavery, and he would use Joseph to save his family from a famine. God remembered Moses in the middle of nowhere and still used Moses as the deliverer of his people in Egypt. When God remembers, he acts. And I agree with Kent Hughes, and I quote him, he says, God's remembrance is more than a recollection, because when God remembers, he acts. If God remembers you, if God remembers me, he will act. And friends, that gives us hope. That gives us hope knowing God hasn't forgotten us, that God cares for us and God loves us, and we can trust that when God acts, he always acts according to his perfect timing. And we have to trust him. We must never give up on him and know that he will do what he needs to do. You know, the late Timothy Keller used an illustration of two prisoners locked away for some 10 years. And the first man was told by his wife or his partner that she wanted out. She wanted out. She wanted to leave him. She could not wait for him. She could not wait that long. In fact, she told him that she's found another lover and she wants to move on. And this prisoner, when he heard this, he was heartbroken. And not soon later, he died as a lonely man in his prison cell. The second prisoner was told by his wife she's pregnant with their first child. And she promised him that she'll raise him up and take care of the child and long for the reunion. And she told him that she loves him and she'll never forget him and she'll remember him and she longs for that day so that they will become a family. This second prisoner lived every day in his prison cell with a hope, knowing that there's someone who loves him, who's thinking of him, who remembers him and will never forget him. And he kept living every day with that hope to the day that they would reunite as a family. You know, we can have that hope that God remembers us. If you this morning feel hopeless and you feel that life is so unfair, I want you to know that God remembers you and there will be a day you'll be reunited with him in eternity future, that you get to enjoy him forevermore. And that's the hope that you can hold on to and you can take that extra step every day. So whatever is before you that seems hopeless, whether it's a situation in your relationship, whether it's a situation with your family or your health or your finance or your visa situation or looking for accommodation because rent is very hard, whatever it is, don't lose hope because God remembers. And he will act. And he will act according to his perfect timing. And you keep trusting him and you keep moving forward and you know that he loves you. He cares for you. The psalmist says this in Psalms 136:23. It is he who remembered us in our lowest state, for his steadfast love endures forever. God remembers us. Amen? Secondly, is that God redeems us. Not only he remembers us, but he redeems us. Look in verse 68 again. The song goes, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. You notice it's in the past tense. He has redeemed his people. Zechariah is so confident that in the coming of the Messiah, because he knew the Messiah is coming. In the coming of Messiah, Jesus, that redemption would come for his people. There was no, I hope redemption, but no, he has redeemed us. There's such confidence that Jesus would come to restore what's broken. That's what Christmas is all about. Like, if you want Christmas in a nutshell, it's God's redemptive purpose through his son. He came to redeem what is broken back to him. And as we begin to read through Zechariah's song, the theme of redemption is very obvious. I'll prove it to you. Go back to the text. Verse 73 onwards, the oath he swore to our father Abraham to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Look at verse 77 and 78. To give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God. Now look in verse 79, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. You know, redemption is a theological term where it's based on slave trade. It's a slave trade terminology. It's when someone or something is released or recovered through the payment of a price, and that's redemption. So when you read the Bible, right, redemption is always associated with words like ransom or substitution, you know, exchange, deliverance, salvation. And what we see in the song is all about God saving his people. Yeah, God delivering his people from the hands of the oppressor. God rescuing, God coming to set them free so they can worship God. And so what we see here is that Zechariah is saying, God, you're redeeming us. You're restoring us. We're broken and you're coming to set us free. And I love it how Paul, right, would put it like this in the New Testament, in Romans 3, 23, 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. You see what he's saying? He's saying every one of us here, we're all fallen, we're all sinners, no one's perfect, we fall short from God's standard, we all need redemption, we all need God to redeem us, and God comes and he redeems us on that cross. So Easter, right, is so important for us because when we think of Easter, we think of what God did 2,000 years to redeem us, to save us. And so sometimes when it comes to redemption, we think, oh yeah, it's a term that relates to what took place 2,000 years ago. Yes and no, because redemption also means today. So not only he redeemed us 2,000 years ago on the cross, he's also redeeming us every day, even today. And here's how I want you to understand it. So, listen carefully. We know the Bible tells us that God is good. Amen? God is good and God is love. So, 1 John 4:8 says this, whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. Is that right? Which means that if God is love, everything that happens to us, all right, is done out of love. Everything. Think about that. Nothing happens to us, right, whether it's good or bad, comes from a loving God. Just hold that thought for a second. We also know that God is holy. Many verses in the Bible that talks of God being holy. You know, for example, I've got here 1 Samuel, right? There is none holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. You know, Isaiah talks about holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He's holy. And so if God is holy, listen carefully, it is impossible for God to make a mistake. Yeah? Because if God would make a mistake, he's not perfect, he's not holy. You understand that? If you bring those two concepts together, right? So if God is good, which means that everything that happens to us is always somehow for our benefit, and if God is holy, which means that whatever God does, it can never be a mistake, you bring those two together, and it helps us understand that whatever we go through in this life, the good or the bad, whatever, the season of waiting for God, it doesn't matter. Guess what? God's still redeeming it. God's still redeeming it. Why? Because God is always up to something good. Because if he wasn't, he's not a God of love. And if he made a mistake, then he's not holy. That means that everything that you go through, friends, whether it's health issues or the tragedy of losing your job or your loved ones or those seasons where you feel that your faith is so far from God and you're in that dark valley moment, guess what? God is still redeeming the situation. Why? He's a God of love and he's a holy God. And if he's love, everything that happens to us is for a purpose. And if he's holy, nothing is ever a mistake. That's why we get to keep trusting God. And that's why Paul puts it this way in Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That means all things. He's redeeming whatever situation you're in right now. Not only redemption 2,000 years ago, but right now. Even right now, if you feel, well, there's no hope, life is not fair, guess what? God is still redeeming it right now for your good and his glory because he's a God of love and he's a holy God. You know, there's a photo of me here when I was a four-year-old in a refugee camp there. There's my father on the right hand side. There's my uncle, and that's the future pastor there, believe it or not. This was a refugee camp in Indonesia back in 1980, some 40 plus years ago. I have these memories of my uncle, my brother, my father's younger brother, who would go collecting bits and pieces from the rubbish tips. And he would collect plastic lids and plastic bottles and toothpaste boxes and matchstick boxes and twigs. And then he would gather all these bits and pieces. And he would spend hours, right, my uncle, hours just creating little toy cars and toy trucks for me to play. And I remember as a little boy just watching him patiently, seeing what he's up to. He'll take all these bits and pieces and he'll make something beautiful and he'll present it to me and I'll play with these little toy cars. You know, life can be a bit like that. You know, as we wait to see what God is doing, we know that God is still doing something. We can patiently wait for God, and there may be seasons in your life where you go, this is just not right. I feel like I'm so broken. My life is in bits and pieces and I'm not sure how on earth can God create something. But if God is a redeeming God, if the Bible tells us that He comes to redeem us, wow, that means that we can patiently wait for God. And even if our life feels so broken, a mess, and even when people say, God can't do anything with this, you're a mess, there's nothing good out of this, trust that God is redeeming you. God has redeemed the situation, and you can just take your time and learn to be patient and watch God do what He does best, because He's a creative God and He will still create something beautiful in you out of your mess. He can do that. I've seen Him done that in many of you. I've seen Him done that in me. And I believe that's what God does. He will create something beautiful out of our brokenness. He does. And for some of you here this morning, you're here because you need to hear this. Because right now you feel that my life is so broken, Pastor. It's so fragmented. It's everywhere. Bits and pieces everywhere. It's pointless. I don't want to live any longer. I've had enough. Don't. God is a redeeming God. God can still take the messiness and the brokenness of your life and still create something new and beautiful for your good and His glory, especially in the seasons of tough, season where it's really tough. Keep trusting God. And if you know that, guess what? There's hope. There's hope for another day. I leave you with the old hymn from Avis Christensen, written in 1918. The hymn is titled, Out of the Depths to the Glory Above. Out of the depths to the glory above. It goes like this. Out of the depths to the glory above, I have been lifted in wonderful love. From every fetter, my spirit is free, for Jesus has lifted me. Jesus has lifted me. Jesus has lifted me out of the night into glorious light. Yes, Jesus has lifted me. Friends, if you feel right now that you're in that pit and there's no hope before you, I want you to know that God is still redeeming the situation. He can lift you free. He can take you from your depths to the glory above. Be patient. Trust Him. Watch Him. Let Him be God. Let Him do what He needs to do. Friends, hope is here. Hope is here. You know why? Because God remembers us. You know why? God redeems us. And if I know those two truths, I'm going to keep moving forward. And I'm going to let Him be God, not me. Let Him move the pieces, not me. And I'm going to trust God. And I believe, for some of you, you needed to hear this. Christmas is a reminder that hope is near. Hope is here. God loves you. God has a plan for you. Keep trusting Him. Keep moving forward. Learn to be patient and let Him do what He needs to do. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you. Hallelujah. God, you're good. You're a good God. You're a wonderful God. You're a God of hope. I pray for anyone here this morning who may feel that there is no hope. Lord, I pray for them right now that they know, God, that you remember them. Just like how you remember Zechariah and Elizabeth, you hear their prayers, you see their tears. I pray for them right now. I pray that you would just Remind them that you're near. You're near to those who are broken, the brokenhearted, you're near. Thank you that you're a redeeming God. You redeem situations all the time. Oh, you're good, God. You're so good. We are grateful that there's always hope with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, why don't you be upstanding? We're going to worship. And as always, we're going to create a space for us to receive prayer. I've got some leaders at the front ready to pray. To pray with you, to stand with you, to build your faith, to remind you that you're not doing this alone, that there is hope waiting for you. So as we sing, I'm going to invite anyone who feels a bit hopeless and feeling that it's hard to come forward and let us pray with you, let us stand with you. If that is you, please come forward. So we're going to worship God now. Let's sing, and then please come forward and let's minister to one another. Let's do that.